How can anyone, whether they want to work in a language school or privately from their own laptop anywhere in the world, create a rewarding and impactful career teaching English as a second language, even if they are just starting out or have no teaching experience or ability? Hi, my name is Lynette Kim, and here on the TESOL Talk podcast, I aim to answer that very question.
I'd taken a group of ESL students out once for a day trip, and part of this day trip with the school that I worked for included going to the swimming centre where we lived. And so that was fine. What I did, though, is call the swimming centre and tell them, oh, look, we've got a group of 20 or so ESL students that are coming for the day to do swimming. And I did this because the swimming centre then puts on extra lifeguards, which is really good. So you really, if you're going to take a group of ESL students to a swimming centre, you really want to notify that swimming centre that they're coming. So anyway, we've gone through all of the rules, and there were teens in this group because they were on study tour, and there were the adult ESL teachers that were from, in this case, South Korea. So we're at the swimming center and everything's going swimmingly. You know, the lifeguards are watching the students really well. We're watching the students really well. We're all in our swimmers and everyone's having a great time. And next thing I know, some people are like screaming and yelling, and I look behind me, and there in the adult pool is one of the Korean teachers, a female teacher, and she's floating on the top of the pool with her hair splayed out all around her and splashing her arms, but she's face down. And I'm looking at her thinking, what is she doing? And she keeps doing this, and she's doing it, and she looks like she's panicking, but I'm thinking, she's on the surface. How can she be panicking? And then I jump in the water, and a couple other people jump in the water, and she gets dragged out, and she's like trying to catch her breath, and she's like spluttering and carrying on. She goes, I was drowning, I was drowning. And we said to her, she spoke English, we said to her, how? And she goes, I was on the bottom of the pool and I couldn't get to the top. And we're saying to her, no, you were on the surface. And she, you know, no matter what we said, she couldn't believe that she was on the surface. She truly believed she was on the bottom of the pool and she was drowning and couldn't find her way to the surface. It's incredible. So you really need to be so careful with these sorts of outings, because you can't take swimming particularly for granted. ESL students, and we say this to homestay families as well, ESL students always say, oh, yes, I can swim. And they go to swimming centres in their home countries. Of course they do. But it's very well monitored. But when they come to like a country like Australia or Western country where it's a bit more open, a little bit more relaxed, honestly, they can't swim. And, you know, they will drown, a lot of them. And obviously there'll be some that won't, but you need to watch them carefully. The beach is somewhere I refuse to take study tours if I'm responsible for them. I just won't, because there's rips, there's undercurrent, there's so much going on in the wind, and it's just too difficult to monitor. And, you know, every year, unfortunately, in Australia, we have so many drownings, and some of them are actually Australian adults who know how to swim. It's just the conditions. So just a thing to be aware of. So swimming's a big one. Also, you know, for students, if you're going to take them on outings, another outing we did was a big shopping centre, because students love to go shopping when they're on study tour. So we took them to a big shopping centre in Southport, and we had them all paired up and we were watching them. And these were tweens, so they were around, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old. And we were watching the front of the shops as well. But, you know, there are some kids who live in the area who are also Asian. So sometimes a kid can slip by you and you think it's not one of your students. So we had one student, this little girl, just go nicking off, sneaked off without us. We didn't even realize she'd done it. And she had gone off to the cinema, because we had arranged for the activity afterwards. They were all going to the cinema to see this kid's movie. And there she was sitting by the, she'd gotten away all the way to the actual number of the cinema, that the room that it was going to be held in, and she was waiting there because she was bored with shopping. But in the meantime, we had been searching all over, calling. We had groups of people, groups of teachers going out looking for her and everything. It took us nearly 30 minutes to find her, and it was horrifying. So, you know, activities where students go out and about are great, but, you know, you really have to nail it as far as monitoring them, having enough adults there to watch. If you can, recruit some of the homestay families to come along. And if you're overseas, so I've done activities overseas. So I've been teaching in Korea, same deal. We take the students out to a park or to an activity. And if they're young, you have to watch them like hawks. You just can't trust that it's okay, because, you know, kids are very independent. And the same deal, a kid, you know, I've seen kids wandering the streets that were way too little, in my opinion. And so that, you know, sometimes kids will just wander off back home. So you just, these are activities are great, and going out on excursions are terrific, but it has to be run by the school. So if you're private tutoring, be aware that the buck stops with you, with responsibility. You really have to think these things through, if they're worth it, if there's enough value linguistically for the students to be doing this. And if it's with a school, well, the school's responsible, but just keep an eye on things anyway, because, you know, it's awful when things go wrong. So excursions. With adults, excursions are better because they're adults, so it's up to them. It's not the same level of responsibility. But again, when you lose them because they decide to go off and do something else for a minute, or they don't inform people when they're taking a bathroom break or something, you know, it's still difficult because you've got to hold the whole group up until you've got everybody to return or whatever, or catch a bus back. So, you know, you have to make sure that whatever rules, timetables, schedules, everything's very, very well explained in advance if they're low-level students. Having said all of that, though, activities can be fantastic. You know, some of my favourite activities on the Gold Coast for study tours are the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. It's so good there. It's so open. It's so different. I mean, we do go to theme parks like Movie World, Sea World, Dream World, all the worlds. But to be honest, I've seen theme parks overseas and they're huge. And so I don't really understand why ESL students come here and want to do theme parks here, because they've got such enormous ones overseas. But they do still like it. But I feel like a better experience for them is something that's very Australiana. So I don't know, in different cities, there'll be different things on offer. But also, if you're doing activities with ESL students, it doesn't have to be ones that are paid. So look for things that are free. So there are always nature walks. You'll know of parks in your area where kangaroos feed, and other wildlife that you can see. So, you know, on the Gold Coast, where I was located at the time and doing study tours, I made sure that 50% of the activities were things that didn't cost money. So, you know, you just take them on these walks, take them to these sightseeing places, parks, barbecues. They love all this stuff, you know, outdoor activity. It's so different. And but again, plan well and have some fun things to do, so you don't just go to a park and, okay, everybody, let's just sit around. That doesn't work. So if they're teens or children, playing games at the park are great, and not just sports games, but scavenger hunts and treasure hunts. These are brilliant, and they bring in also that pair group work, reading and speaking activities, all of this sort of thing. So there are some great ways to do activities, but definitely the warnings, be very careful with it. Make sure it's all approved through the school. Don't just do something randomly on your own, because it won't go down well. But other than that, make sure that try and have a linguistic backing for what you're doing. So bring it back to something that they've been learning in the class, or something that they will be learning in the class, topic theme wise, and have a good time.